Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we're going to invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because hopefully we're going to have with us on the line from Arizona our good friend Ralph Epperson. But until he gets with us, let me tell you a little bit about Ralph. And he and I got started in the anti-communist movement 40 years ago, in the about 1962. And at that time, if you looked at the world, the communists controlled about a quarter of the world's population, a third of the landmass of the world, and it was a frightening thing to contemplate, especially when you read the newspapers and you constantly saw any effort to talk about the threat of communism played down, and those people who talked about the threat of communism demeaned and demonized and marginalized, and yet, of course, you begin to study what had happened and how the United States had brought Fidel Castro to power, and we had known him as a communist. If you doubt that, there are many, many books written on that subject. One of them was written by a gentleman I had the pleasure of interviewing. His name was Earl C. Smith, Ambassador Earl C. Smith. He was a multi-billionaire, and I didn't had an opportunity many years later to interview him in Palm Beach, Florida, but he had written a book, The Fourth Floor, and in which he made it very obvious the United States government knew that Fidel Castro was a communist, and yet we brought him to power. And, of course, this was at the time when John Kennedy was in the White House. It was very obvious that many of the policies that Kennedy was pushing at the time, pushing towards socialized medicine, towards socialization of our societies, thing that was going to change America away from a free society into exactly the sort of society that existed in Russia at that time. In fact, at that time, there was far more socialism in the United States than there ever was in either Russia or in communist China. But the average American didn't understand that, nor did they understand that all during the Second World War, there were communists working at the highest levels of our government. This certainly came out many years later in the Verona Files, where we find that Harry Hopkins, the personal advisor to the president who lived in the White House, Harry Hopkins was a communist agent. Not only that, but at the end of the Second World War, we had actually given the plates that could be used to print American occupation currency to the communists, so they could print our occupation currency, use it to finance their occupation of Eastern Europe and their rape of the people there. And believe me, literally every woman in Eastern Europe was raped at the end of the Second World War, and hardly a mention of that in the American media, because after all, the Russians were our allies in this great quest to overthrow communism, to overthrow fascism. The only trouble was that, of course, when Adolf Hitler had invaded Poland from the west in 1939 and 1940, while Russia had invaded from the east, and yet, of course, we didn't go to war with Russia for invading Poland. We only went to war with Adolf Hitler. And there were so many unanswered questions at that time, and we're going to cover a lot more of this. Hopefully we'll get Ralph on the line, and if not, well, it's just going to be you and me, and we'll be talking about these issues in much greater detail right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Back on my back behind the microphone. It's just a week today. I was in the operating room having a total hip replaced, so I'm a little weak. And if I make a few mistakes in what I say, I just consider the source. I think we're fortunate to be up on our feet and back at the microphone so quickly. Although I'm only doing about half my schedule, and I will be only doing half the schedule for this week at least, till I can recuperate some more. But as I was telling our shortwave listeners, we'd hoped to have with us today Ralph Epperson, and we were going to then be talking about what's going on in the world today. But going into that from a historical perspective and how Ralph and I had gotten started in the anti-communist movement some 40 years ago, when the communists controlled a third of the population of the world, a quarter of the world's landmass, a third of the world's population. And it was a frightening thing to realize the influence that communism had in the world at that time. Now, what neither Ralph nor I understood at the time is that communism as a system doesn't work. It was never efficient, and it was constantly being aided by the capitalists in the West. In other words, they were creating the best enemy that money could buy. They were to be the foil for the people who worked behind the scenes in the United States. And, of course, we were unaware of the fact that going back to 1918, why the American capitalists and financiers and banking interests had started financing Lenin there after the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. And those of you who haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, really need to get that. We'll give you a few of the references there to books where you can verify what we're saying. One of them was a fascinating book. It was written in the 1920s by a man named Bruce Lockhart. Because you have to realize you're going to have to go to the original books. Modern day books are put out usually by publishing houses that are under CIA or Council on Foreign Relations control. And they don't give you the facts. They give you what they want you to know. But Bruce Lockhart, in his book, a British agent writing in the 1920s, was talking about how he had actually been sent to Russia by Lord Milner to represent the British hierarchy and keep them informed what was happening in Russia, and how Lenin would invite him and a representative of the American Federal Reserve Bank back to their headquarters on a regular basis, in other words, the communist headquarters, to the communist secret meetings, to determine communist policy, and how obsequious was and subservient Lenin was to the dictates of a representative of the American Federal Reserve System. And then, of course, as you get into the financing of Russia's central bank and Russia's industry, you realize, of course, that Russia was simply a front, the best possible enemy that money could buy. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two as we join together with the rest of our stations for this afternoon's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Ralph Epperson. Well, hopefully it's going to be Ralph Epperson. We haven't been able to reach him, so we'll have open lines if anybody wants to call in about any of the things we're talking about. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we're talking about, of course, the background to my understanding of what was really going on in the world. Well, of course, I got started in 1962. And within a year or two, America was involved in a battle with communism in Southeast Asia. At least this is what we were led to believe. In other words, we were over there fighting the communists because, after all, if we didn't fight the communists in Southeast Asia, they would be attacking San Francisco and Los Angeles. Sort of reminiscent of why we're in Iraq today, where we have to fight the terrorists there, because if we don't fight them in Iraq, why they're going to be attacking us here in the United States. So they use these same lines over and over again. And it's amazing how gullible people are, how gullible people believe them, and how gullible I was back in 1962 and 63 and 64 and 65. And we saw the anti-war movement, and I read the communist newspapers at that time, and I knew the anti-war movement was basically organized by the communists here in the United States, using a lot of good idealistic people who were concerned about the unnecessary loss of death in Southeast Asia, and the fact that but of course they were opposed the war for the wrong reasons, just as I supported the war for the wrong reasons. I did not understand at that time that the American government was, and American financiers were, financing the North Vietnamese by the fact that we were loaning massive amounts of money to Russia, and Russia in turn was providing the weapons of war for North Vietnam so they could kill our boys in Southeast Asia. Furthermore, the rules of engagement that had been put on by Robert McNamara, who was part of this inner cabal who runs the world, they ran it at that time and they still run it today, And, of course, all limitations were put onto our fighting men. They weren't allowed to bomb the port at Haiphong, through which all the supplies, the munitions, and weapons of war were being brought into Vietnam. They weren't allowed to bomb the rail yards at Haiphong. They weren't allowed to try to intercept any of those weapons to stop them from getting to the North Vietnamese troops who were killing our boys in South Vietnam. And, of course, what the French had done during their war is they'd sunk a ship in the harbor at Haiphong so that ships couldn't get in. Oh, they could have mined the harbor at Haiphong. We didn't do that until we'd already agreed to pull out and we'd already managed to ensure the deaths of tens of thousands of American boys in a war we never intended to win. But the American people could never understand that. Now, I had the unique opportunity many years ago of interviewing William H. Sullivan, who was the American ambassador to Vietnam at that period of time. This was back in 1980. At that time, was Columbia University. And I had an opportunity to talk to him, and he said, you know, I never understood why we didn't win that war. We could have won the war at any time. And, of course, Mr. Sullivan is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I think he's an honest man. I think he doesn't understand the implications of what he was involved with. But he was quite honest, saying we could have won the war at any time, and we could have. We were just never allowed to win. We were allowed to send our boys over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never to win the war, because that wasn't why we went there. They managed to prolong a war for 10 years between a nation the size of the state of Mississippi and America, which at that time was the mightiest nation in the world. How did they prolong it? Why, very simply, they didn't allow our boys to win the war. They had all these restrictions on what our boys could do. Our planes were never allowed to carry full loads of bombs. They could only carry a partial load of bombs, so that they would carry a third of a load of bombs, who would send three planes up, so there'd be three times as much chance of somebody being shot down. And then, of course, they weren't allowed to attack the anti-aircraft batteries until they were actually fired on. They couldn't attack the MiG aircraft. When they were on the ground, they had to be in the air actually fighting them. Now, how many people honestly believe that the North Vietnamese were building MiG aircraft, a sophisticated MiG aircraft, and sophisticated surface-to-air anti-aircraft weapons with radar guidance? Do you really believe those were being built in third-world country like North Vietnam? Of course they weren't. They were being built in Russia. And Russia was being financed and subsidized by the United States. In fact, much of the technology that was used to kill our boys came from the United States, but we could never allow the American people to know that. My good friend, Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton, who was at the Hoover Institute in 1972, went before the Republican Party meeting, the convention in 1972 that nominated Richard Nixon for the second time, and simply pointed out how we were financing the North Vietnamese. Well, when he went back to Hoover Institute, they'd taken his name off the door, they'd disconnected his telephone, and he became persona non grata. In other words, nobody was allowed to know this sort of thing. The American people were ready to believe that we were fighting a war against communism, and the dominoes would fall. It would be, first of all, Vietnam, and then Laos, and then Cambodia, and then Malaysia, and Australia, and then San Francisco, and sort of the same ideas that we're getting today. We have to be over in Iraq fighting the terrorists, or they're going to be over here attacking us. And the American people went along with it, and for a time, I went along with it as well, until I suddenly realized we weren't trying to fight this war. We weren't trying to win the war. We were there just fighting a war, and prolonging a war. And 58,000 American boys died for absolutely nothing. But this is nothing new. If you study the wars of the last century, every one of them was fought for entirely different reasons than the American people have been allowed to know. And we've analyzed this. We've actually done much original research on the background of Pearl Harbor, the background of the First World War. And so much of this is covered in my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, because you can't take Iraq and look at it independently. You have to look at it as part of an overall picture. You have to look at what's going on in Iraq as part of this continuing move of wars and revolutions and violence and horror and terror that will culminate in the Third World War, which has already begun. Only the average American doesn't realize that. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, because our regularly scheduled guest, Ralph Epperson, who I talked to this morning and promised he would be with us, well, for one reason or another, he's not available. And so it's going to be you and me. And if you have a question or something you'd like to challenge or like to know the documentation for it, why, let us know. But we have a wonderful video with Professor Anthony Sutton, the gentleman who in 1972 went before the Republican convention and explained how we were financing the North Vietnamese. We weren't trying to win the war in Vietnam. I remember that was a couple of years before the war ended. And but the video is called The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, and it's my interview with Dr. Sutton. It's one of the few interviews with him. He's subsequently passed away just this last year. And then we carry a book by that same name, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. But one of the most difficult things for the average American to believe is that we financed the Soviet Union from the time of its inception. American corporations, American banks, American Federal Reserve System, we did everything we could to build up the military prowess of the communists in preparation for the series of wars that were to follow. Because if you don't have an enemy, how will you have anything to fight? So reminiscent of what Plato wrote about as he talked about how, you know, when the tyrant has defeated his enemies by conquest or treaty, why he's always, of course, stirring up a new enemy so that he can have someone to rally the people behind him. These are basic techniques that are used by tyrants. They've been used through the years. And ladies and gentlemen, they've been used right here in America. Well, let's go. We have a gentleman named Mr. Gill from New York with a question. Hi, Mr. Gill. How are you?
Dr. Stan, I'm just wondering, I just heard your discussion. What was the actual reason for the war in Vietnam, other than the reason that was presented by the government?
All right. Well, of course, what the leftists will say is it was to make money. You know, it was the munitions manufacturers. They wanted to make a lot of money. And this is a half-truth. It's a half-truth in the fact that money was made, but that wasn't the reason for the war. No, the war was fought basically to change America, to bring about a socialist society. And it was during the war then that we brought in the Great Society. Now, how can I say that this is the reason? I mean, is this my conjecture? No, I suggest you go to Foreign Affairs magazine. Do you know what Foreign Affairs is?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, the January 1967 issue of Foreign Affairs, the lead article is The End of Either Or. It was written by McGeorge Bundy. Do you know who McGeorge Bundy was?
Yes, I do.
Okay, fine. He was a member of the Skull and Bones, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Right.
A very close friend of Secretary of War Stimson, Secretary of War during the Second World War, who he was instrumental in getting us in the Second World War, and his good friend McGeorge Bundy got us into Vietnam. And of course, the two of them together wrote a book called On Guard. And Stimson also, just by chance, just by accident, happened to be a member of the Skull and Bones and the Council on Foreign Relations. But in the article, January 1967, the end of either or. Why, and this is, I think, the last two pages of the article, but George Bundy says this: we've got to quit talking about it's either guns or butter. It's either persistence in Vietnam or full budgetary support for our domestic programs, because exactly the opposite is the case. Those who believe in the great new departures in health and education and welfare, who believe in the cause of true equality, shouldn't strengthen the hands of their opposition by saying we ought to get out of Vietnam, because exactly the opposite is the case. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam, and a pullout in Vietnam will lead to strong domestic support, against our programs. So the war was fought to change America, to bring about the socialist society, and they succeeded. And of course, they divided our country, you know, into left and right. And we're going to have to go to a break. Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
No, I have not.
Well, let me suggest you get that. The quotation is there, but the source is January 1987 Foreign Affairs magazine. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Now, we've got two more callers. We'll ask them to hold on until we get back here after this break. Tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president
of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention a couple of the other items we carry here at Radio Liberty, which we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting. And one of them, of course, is the Phonopoly. A Phonopoly is a wonderful program. It's a board game played like Monopoly, but it's designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. Have you noticed how terrible most young people are as far as their spelling? Well, it's because they haven't learned phonics. And why, when they have the major spelling bees, it's usually the children from homeschooling families where they've been taught phonics who always do so much better. They've deliberately dumbed down the children here in America using a system they knew was going to fail called look-see or sight reading. Phonics is the way to teach reading, and we have this in this wonderful game. It's seven board games, and we throw in a couple of books that go into the background of the program to deliberately dumb down the American people, the American children. Most of these programs, $300-$500. This one is $139.95. It's called Phonopoly. So call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. The Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is a series of CDs. There are 22 of them that will take your child from grammar school all the way through high school. And you don't have to spend a lot of time. Everything is there on the CDs, textbooks, the tests, the answers to the tests, the lesson plans, everything is there, all set out for you and make it easy for your children to educate themselves. The only thing you have to buy in addition to the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is the Saxon Math books. This program is $199.95. I'm not talking about $199.95 a year. I'm talking about for the entire program, the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. We recommend it to you. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our regularly scheduled guest is not here. So we have with us on the line Elizabeth from Maryland. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's so good to talk with you. You remember you encouraged me as I started my own local little show on WKDI in Annapolis.
Right.
And I was thinking so much there when you were talking about Vietnam, the price that was paid in the little towns. I came from a small town in Pennsylvania, and my beloved elementary school teacher who taught me grades 2 through 5, and he used to pick my brother and me up when we were small children and take us to the movies on Saturdays, and we had these fond memories of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and all of these movies. And he was like a second father to me, and of course we played with his young son, and his son went to Vietnam, and after he came back, he was one of the walking wounded. He got on a bus one time in Washington, D.C., and took an overdose of pills. And one time I sat down and I just computed how many young men were killed or damaged in that small town with one street in it. And if my book is ever published, I haven't followed through yet on your suggestions, but I will when the time is right. I have a whole section that tells about that little town. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you, I wanted to thank you so much for bringing Megiddo. We just got it last week and we watched it. Dr. Stan, it's just superb.
Now, this is a video that we're suggesting that everybody get it. It's called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, and it puts all of these wars of the last century into perspective. They've all been planned. They've sent our boys off to fight and bleed and bluff and die, and the politicians who did it, they didn't go over themselves. They didn't send their sons over there. I mean, of course, George W. Bush got in the Air National Guard, so he didn't have to go over. And then, of course, once he got in the Air National Guard, he didn't show up for training. But that excused him. He was not a draft dodger at all, like Bill Clinton was. But does it really matter? These people, the elite, they don't send their boys to die in these wars. They expect us to send our boys, and it's about time the American people realize that right now there are over 40,000 young men who volunteered for service. Their tour of duty has expired in Iraq, and they're being kept in involuntarily. They call that involuntary servitude or slavery, but oh no, the government says we're doing this in the name of national security. Well,
and don't you wonder
what nation are we really guarding today? I mean, if we're really at war with Osama bin Laden, then why did we attack Iraq? And I think this was beautifully brought out Sunday in 60 Minutes when they interviewed Paul O'Neill, the Secretary of the Treasury, who said when the first meeting he went to at the White House in January of 2000, when the president first came to office, and the first question that was asked was not what are we going to do about the domestic problems, but how are we going to go to war with Iraq? Now, this was almost a year and 11 months or 9 months before the attack on the World Trade Center. Well, they were looking for an excuse to go to war with Iraq. That was what the plan was all about. And, of course, Paul O'Neill is coming under tremendous pressure now because he had the dare to tell the truth that the war with Iraq was planned long before George Bush became the president of the United States. People don't like to understand that, but there are forces that work behind the scenes. There are secret societies and secret organizations. Until we address these, we're going to continue losing. Anything else, Elizabeth?
Yes, and I want to compliment you on your program last night, how stunning it was about the borders. And I really have to wonder with these two things, what you've told about the soldiers being kept involuntarily and the borders, what will it take? It will only take repentance and revival, won't it, for Christians to wake up that we're losing our country.
Well, there's going to have to be a revival in America, but this is not going to come about until the American people have suffered. And I believe they're going to suffer because, well, any nation that turns against God, eventually God turns against that nation. And I believe God has turned against America. I believe he's abandoned us to our own carnal desires, and there are going to be terrible, terrible suffering in this country. But maybe we'll take that before the people do return to God.
Yeah.
Those who survive the coming turmoil. Anything else, Elizabeth?
Thank you for your ongoing efforts, and our prayers continue for your protection and provision.
And, of course, I just hope everything goes well with your radio program back there.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Okay, fine.
Well, we've got Steve calling from Wisconsin. Steve, do you have a question or comment? We're going to another break, but what was your question?
Would you want me to hold me over?
Oh, I'm going to hold you over. Don't you worry. What was the question?
Make a comment, and then I wanted to ask you a question, so it's a two-parter.
All right, fine. Well, then you just hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Steve. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Of course, your job is to get informed, get other people listening to our program, check out the facts. Could this really be true? Because if it is, maybe it'll be your son who will be drafted next year or the year after that to fight in wars that we never intend to win, but are simply being fought for an entirely different purpose, a strong spiritual purpose which nobody is going to tell you about.
The Anglo-American establishment It gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention four tapes that we put together. At the last break, we talked about Dr. Richard Day, who was, of course, the head of Planned Parenthood. Actually, he wasn't the head of Planned Parenthood. He was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. But in 1969, he gave a talk to a group of doctors. And one of the doctors, Dr. Dunnigan, took notes eventually on what was said, and he has told this whole incredible story. And we have a four tape set. One of the four tapes is my interview with Dr. Dunnigan, and the other interview is by Randy Engel. We call it the New Order of the Barbarians, because it will actually go into the background of what was planned. He called this group, Dr. Day called this group, the Order, and he said they really control the world. They're going to create new diseases, because people are going to have to die of something, and they'll die of the new diseases, or will withhold treatments for cancer. And of course, it was just a very, very few weeks after that when Dr. MacArthur, we know, went before the House Appropriations Committee and asked for $10 million to create a new disease that would destroy the immune system. And, of course, it was just 5 years after he got that money, 6 years after they got that money, that the first cases of AIDS began to appear in the United States. So I believe that there's a great deal to verify what Dr. Dunnigan talks about. I talked to Dr. Dunnigan. I wanted to be sure that this was an accurate portrayal of what was really said. So I think you'll find it a fascinating four tapes. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians, and it comes with a transcript. And, of course, we have to pay a royalty to Randy Engel for this. So we do charge a little extra for it, but I will think you will find it one of the most fascinating things you've ever listened to and read. So The New Order of the Barbarians is a four-tape set. It comes with a transcript and gives you an idea into what is really planned, what they were planning in 1969. And, of course, those plans are coming to fruition today. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Steve from Wisconsin on the line. Steve, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing fine.
Great. I got three things, and I'll go as quick as I can.
Are you on a cell phone or something?
No.
Okay, well, go ahead. We've got a terrible hum, but go ahead.
Okay, I apologize for that. A good friend of mine, who I know is a very truthful man, told me that one of his jobs in Vietnam was to guard Chinese POWs during Vietnam. A lot of people in this country still to this day don't realize that the North Vietnamese Army was also infiltrated a lot with infantry from China.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't question at all that the Chinese were acting as military advisors for the North Vietnamese, but so were the Russians.
Right, but these were Chinese troops that actually had combat roles, where we were used as infantry.
Okay, fine. What was your other point?
My other question, I had a question for you, two more questions. My second question, from everything that you've read, what do you feel was a realistic number for American POWs in Vietnam that we never got back?
About 2,000. Now, that includes not only those that were in Vietnam, but the personnel that were in Laos, and most of those were working with the CIA, and the CIA just simply abandoned them, and most of them ended up in concentration camps or used for medical experimentation, but about 2,000 is the best figure I can come up with.
I think you're pretty accurate on that. My last question, I'll ask it, and then I'll just hang up and listen to your answer. I missed your show last night, but I wanted to get your opinion. How bad do you think President Bush is going to sell his country out to Vicente Fox of Mexico? Okay?
Well, all right, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think you have to understand, first of all, that President Bush is simply a figurehead. He is a figurehead. He is controlled by the people who surround him. And if you've seen the interview with Paul O'Neill, It was really fascinating, 60 Minutes. And he was commenting how after the first tax cut, which was primarily a tax cut for the rich, they were going to come up with another second tax cut, which O'Neill opposed. And the president said, well, now maybe we ought to come up with a tax cut for the middle class, you know, because this would be much more logical. And, you know, we've already been attacked for having a tax cut for the rich. Let's have a tax cut for the middle and the underclass. And of course, it was Dick Cheney who said, oh, no, we can't do that. You know, we've got to stay the course. And Karl Rove, the two of them talked the president into doing exactly what they wanted. He had a sense of these tax cuts were wrong. Now, I'm all in favor of tax cuts, but you can't cut taxes and increase spending unless you are intent upon destroying the American dollar. And this is really what it's all about. They intend to destroy the American currency, and that way they can pay off all of the obligations, all of the pension funds, all these people who've worked all their lives and have pension funds, and they'll get the money. It just won't be worth much of anything. And this is what they're going to do with Social Security. They're not going to cut Social Security benefits. They're going to keep them the same way, only they won't be worth much of anything. And they've already devalued the American dollar almost 40%. And, of course, George Bush is going right along with it, not because I think he even understands what this is about, because I've met George Bush, and he's not a very, very smart man. But the people around him are very, very smart, and they're manipulating him. And he is the figurehead for the establishment which ran him and got him elected to office. So does that answer your question? Oh, well, I think Steve wanted to know how bad we were going to be sold out. We are going to be sold out, not to simply Vicente Fox. We're being sold out to globalism. This whole issue of all of the immigrants we have here in the United States. It's estimated that we have between 8 and 11 million illegal immigrants in America. And they say, well, gee, now they're here and we can't do anything about it. Well, how did they get here? They were allowed to come in. Congress kept passing legislation to strengthen our border patrol, to have an effective system of control of immigrants. And the administration, both Democrat and Republican, refused to implement the laws of this land. Why? Because they have a different goal, a different objective. They're dedicated to globalization. This is why they've objected to having English as the only language. This is why the Ford Foundation has been funding the Maldive and LULAC and the other organizations for illegal immigrants. Because they want the illegal immigrants. They want to make us into a multicultural society. They want to destroy the soul of America because these people hate America. Their dedication is to a new world order and a new world religion. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. If you're looking for any logic in what's going on today, you're certainly not going to find it in what's going on. So I hope that that will answer Steve's question. We're not going to sell out to Vicente Fox. We're selling out to the whole globalist concept of destroying America, of transferring our jobs and our industries overseas. And all you need to do is read the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal to see how they twist the truth. If you want to understand sophistry, read the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal, who tell us how we're strengthening our government and strengthening our industries by opening our borders and, of course, undermining our industries here. And if you can find the logic there, why, you're more intelligent than I am. Well, let's see. We've got Roger calling from Pennsylvania and, of course, our telephone number, since our regularly scheduled guest did not show up. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan. Thanks. And a minor quibble first. I don't think Bush Jr. is George is quite as smart as his father, who may not have been all that smart himself.
Oh, I think George Herbert Walker is a very, very smart man. But go ahead.
But it's easy to be that look. That much smarter when the media is giving you a total pass, after all. You know, just like they made Bill out to be, and Hillary out to be, you know, the most brilliant people in the universe. And before my question, which is health nutrition, I just want to remind the folks that listen on Worldband that while thankfully the WHRI transmitter has been very stable on frequency 5745 these last 4 months or so, nevertheless, make sure if it drops to look for you on 7580. And my question, have you looked into enough to form an opinion on any of the various Eat for Your Blood type books?
No, I really haven't. I can't comment on something. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, there's been a number that have come out in the last 5 or 10 years on Eat for Your Blood type.
Okay.
Right? God bless.
Okay. Anything else, Roger?
God bless.
Okay. Thank you so much. And that was Roger from Pennsylvania. And our telephone number, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, most people, as they look back at Vietnam, they don't like to realize, they don't like to think and realize that the whole war was as phony as a $3 bill from the very inception. And, of course, the anti-war movement was organized at that time by the communists, who were being financed by our great tax-exempt foundations and by our own government. Why? Because you need a controlled opposition. And I remember these people out in the streets, and they were yelling and they were throwing things. And then you'd have your confrontation between your police, you know, with their shields and the helmets looking like Darth Vader, and their clubs and the tear gas, and then, of course, you would have the spectacle on television. Well, the same thing's happening at the present time. Who do you think has really organized the anti-war movement? Now, there are a lot of good people who get involved in this, and they feel very strongly about the war. I think that it's a shame that more people don't feel strongly about this war with Iraq. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, we were attacked by Al-Qaeda, and they're centralized in Afghanistan, so we've got to go to war with Afghanistan to get the Al-Qaeda and to destroy this terrorist movement that has threatened the United States. It's an entirely different thing to attack a country that had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, but that we'd always been looking for an excuse to go to war with, and that would be Iraq. And if you doubt there's any question, you need to read the writings of the Project for the New American Century. You can go to their website. It's newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. And you read their writings, you'll find out that they were planning on this war in 1998. Now, who is in the Project for the New American Century? Why, great patriots like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, of the whole crew that's running the current administration. And they were planning back in 1998 on the war. In fact, they put out a publication, and you'll find it on their website. It's called Rebuilding America. And if you go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down my letters where I talk about this, why, we actually give you the exact page references there, but you can read the whole thing. They talk about we're going to have a hard time implementing our new military policies unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. That was written in early 2001 or mid-2001, long before the catastrophic and catalyzing event than other Pearl Harbor that happened on September 11th. Maybe that explains why the administration is doing everything they can to block an independent examination of what happened that tragic, tragic morning when 3,000 Americans died unnecessarily in the Twin Towers and in the Pentagon. Well, let's go to George, who's calling from Toronto, Canada. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Monty. I have a question. I'll listen off the air. I'm really curious on your opinion, and how do you think the United Nations and the powers behind that are going to manipulate the scenario in order to take control of the U.S. military and all other militaries of the world? I'm really very curious on your opinion. Thank you, sir.
All right, fine. Well, I think that this is long-range planning. I think there's going to be some terribly catastrophic and cataclysmic events. I think we're going to see this in the form of World War III. And I believe that we're going to be drawn into World War III. It's going to involve the Muslims mobilizing and attacking Israel and the American forces in the Middle East. And, of course, we're going to resort to the use of nuclear weapons, and they're going to retaliate with nuclear weapons here in the United States. And after America has lost millions and millions of people, after our factories, what's left of them, lie in shambles, after our people are impoverished and searching through the rubble for food, they'll gladly agree to go along with this new world order, this new world religion. See, that was the purpose of the First World War. They had hoped that out of the First World War would come the League of Nations, and there would then come this desire for this one world government. But when that failed, of course, they had to get a Second World War, and when that failed, they had to get a Third World War. If I could suggest something for you, George, and for every one of our listeners out there, there are two videos we have, and you need to get both of them. The first one is called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. It not only talks about the geopolitical aspects of what's going on, but the spiritual aspects of what's going on, and I think you'll find it a fascinating summary of really what's transpiring in the world today. So Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, it's 2.25 hours, one of the most exciting videos I've seen in a long time, and believe me, I've got 100 videos on this subject. This is by far the best, and Megiddo is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, of course, to understand what's happening in the church today, you need to get the video we're carrying, the new video. It's called Diaprax, Diaprax in the Church. And it goes into the church growth movement, its occult foundations, its ties to Theosophy and Madame Blavatsky, and to all of the various occult organizations. And yet this movement is taking over our church today, and so many good Christians are involved in this, saying, well, we want to bring people to Christ. And I say, well, what Christ are you bringing them to? Are you bringing to the Christ the rock and roll music that you're playing in your churches? Is that music really honoring God? Is that the sort of music you expect to hear when you get to heaven? That heavy beat music that they would play at the rock concerts and in the seeker-friendly churches across America today? And there are literally tens of thousands of these churches all across America today. Well, you need to understand what this movement is all about. The video is called Diaprax, and of course we're going to have a new 4-tape set available here later this week. We'll give you information on that just as soon as it's available. You'll need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out across America today. We're not going to reach everybody, but we're going to reach as many as we can. And when the majority of the people of this country who are still good people understand what's going on, hopefully we're going to be able to begin turning things around. So I hope that that answers the question that was put forward by George from Toronto. How is the United Nations going to take over? We're going to ask them to take over. We're going to be so frightened about what's happening. The American people are going to be so despondent that, of course, they're going to be willing to give up their freedom and give up their national sovereignty and merge into this new world system. But, of course, this is not going to solve our problems, because this is the government of the Antichrist, who was prophesied for such a long period of time. In fact, all of the wars have been prophesied. Everything that's going on today is prophesied. That's why the video Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, is so important. And let me suggest you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Order one or both videos, and then, of course, help us to get this information across America, because I can only reach so many people. Even in 5 hours a day of talk radio in our weekend program, which hits 35 different stations, and, of course, another weekend program that we do as well, we only can reach a certain number of people, but everyone about you out there can reach somebody else every day. And please encourage them to listen to our programs, to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, to listen to our programs 5 hours a day, which they can do. And, they can listen to the programs on the Internet, either directly at radioliberty.com or at the various links on Genesis and the American Freedom Network. And help us to get the information out. That's your job. And if you believe, as I do, that freedom is worth working for and fighting for, we hope that you'll join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. And so let me simply point out that we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. And we're losing the battle because most people don't even realize there's a problem. They've been lulled asleep, and they think that anybody who talks about things that we're talking about, of course, is some sort of an extremist. Well, let's go to Vince, who's calling from Connecticut. Hi, Bill. How you doing? Vince. Vince, are you there? Is this Vince from Illinois? Well, I don't know what happened to Vince.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I've been following the financial markets for, a good 20 years. I'm somewhat of a professional. I used to trade treasury bonds. I can't remember a more... I think we are in such a precarious position financially in this country that I think the next terrorist attack is probably going to have a lot of economic consequences, like a collapse of the dollar or maybe even a collapse of our entire financial system. I think that's going to bring us into some sort of a world financial system. Am I getting ahead of myself?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think we're under attack on all sides. We're under attack economically. We're under attack educationally. We're under attack spiritually. But what you're saying is absolutely true. In fact, the IMF put out a report within this last 2 weeks suggesting that America's current economic policies threaten the survival of the entire world economic system. And I will tell you that the smart people like Warren Buffett and George Soros, they're putting their money into other currencies. They're not putting any money in American currency because they know it's already gone down 40% and there's another 30 or 40% more to fall.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And most of the American people that I talk to have no clue when I tell them how I see our standard of living falling apart, our dollar going down in value, The government thinks they have a solution for everything with all this government spending, you know, spending trillions of dollars going to Mars, the moon, and all this and that. But it's actually, it's not going to add anything to our standard of living. I just wonder where our government thinks they're going to get all this money.
Because
currently we're soaking up all the savings of the world.
Now, I think you have to understand that these people are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. Their intent is to destroy our economic system, to destroy the stability of our society, to impoverish our people. Because impoverished people who are looking for their next meal really aren't concerned about these abstract ideas of freedom. Hey, it's good to talk to Vince and give us a call. Well, we're just out of time. But I agree, you're absolutely right. We are on the threshold of terrible, terrible things. But that's our job, is to act as people are on the front lines warning others what's about to happen. God bless you. Thanks so much, Vince.
Keep up the good work.
Right.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians. They still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable. But through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of the other items that we have, which we hope that many of you will want to get. And, of course, one of those is a four-tape set on Vietnam, The Untold Story. And we have, of course, that video. We have a 1-4 tape set on the men that we left behind. Did you know that we abandoned 20 to 25,000 Americans at the end of the Second World War to die in Siberia? Do you really care whether that happened? How can we verify whether that happens? Well, we have the report from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, all the documentation that's been totally suppressed by the controlled media. And why was this done? Because evil has taken control of our nation. This is really what's going on today. And until you understand that the evil forces are working in the leadership of both political parties, and we're responsible because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. So we hope that you will join us and help us to get this information out. We have the video, the four-tape set of Vietnam, The Untold Story. We have a four-tape set on The Men We Left Behind, another four-tape set on One Man Came Back, a man named Bobby Garwood, and what happened to Bobby when he, of course, tried to tell the American people about all the other American POWs that have been left behind and the efforts to demonize and destroy him. Why? His crime was he tried to tell the truth. Do you know what you call a government employee who insists on telling the truth? You call him unemployed. And if you are in the military, if you work for the government and you tell the truth and insist on telling the truth, they will go out to get you. You become a whistleblower. They'll go after your pension. They'll go after your family. If you are in the military, they'll threaten to put you in Leavenworth for the rest of your life. This really goes on in America today. One of our good friends, Colonel Daniel Marvin, was an assassin for the government. They threatened to get his family and to kill them. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about Colonel Daniel Marvin. If you haven't heard my interviews with Colonel Marvin, we really want to put them into a four-tape set because they're so vitally important that you understand the wickedness that's out there. And when Colonel Marvin became a Christian, why he was willing to talk about his assignment as an assassin working for special forces for our government, and, of course, they threatened him, they threatened his family, they threatened his children and his grandchildren. And, of course, then they let them know that their lives were in danger because Colonel Marvin was having the courage to speak out. And I've actually talked to three separate CIA assassins, or people who were recruited by the CIA to carry out assassinations in this country. You say, this couldn't go on in America. If it did, Dan Rather would tell us. And I would tell you, the reason that it goes on is because Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly are paid fabulous amounts of money not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. And that's why what we do here at Radio Liberty is so vitally important. And we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which is how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day as we reach out on the different networks. And then, of course, we have 60 different outlets across America every week. And it's an expensive proposition, so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to establishing an Institute of the Constitution in your community. And you do that by calling 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068, because you have to understand the foundations of our freedom were in Christianity. America was founded by Christians on Christian principles. Our laws were based on Christianity and the Ten Commandments. And that's what the argument over the Ten Commandments is really all about. And that's why all of our courts are against the Ten Commandments, because there are people who hate Christianity. We are involved in a conspiracy against God. And it's an age-old conspiracy. It's been around for 6,000 years. And you better understand that that's the basis of everything that's going on today. And you're going to have to decide whose side you're going to be on. Because believe me, when a push comes to shove, why, you're going to have to be on one side or the other. There is no place in the middle at all. So we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we get the information out across America every day. Now, what can you do? You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And listen to our programs, pull down our newsletters, copy those newsletters, study the information there. Go to the original source documentation, and if you want the source documentation and you can't find it, we'll be glad to provide it for you. And then help us to get the information out. Understand, we didn't go into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. We have an article out of the Washington Times where a high government official is quoted as saying, our policy was not Osama bin Laden first, it was Osama bin Laden last. If we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify this war? You need to read the book, The Politics of Oil, by Paul Sperry. And Politics of Oil, that's not the exact quotation, but if you order it, you can get it through Radio Liberty. And it goes into the background, it's called Crude Politics. And it goes into the background of how the special forces who were sent to Afghanistan to apprehend Osama bin Laden weren't allowed to go after him. Why? Because we didn't go there to get Osama bin Laden. We got Osama bin Laden. How would we be able to justify continuing this war against terrorism? That's what it's all about. The war against terrorism is not against terrorism. It's against the freedom of the American people. And they're using the war on terrorism to justify stealing our freedom away. So join us in this epic struggle, and then understand the spiritual component of what's going on today, because there is a conspiracy against God, against Christmas, against everything that's good and worthwhile and wholesome. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, and please pray for our ministers. But remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back with you again. Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.